You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening, watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, markets have been a little bit unstable for the past couple of months. Shall we put it charitably? Is it going to improve? Is it going to get worse? Is there still opportunity for you to profit from the market? Well, our good friend David Jaffe is with us. The website is beststockstrategy.com. David, what do you make of this market? I know we talked a little bit pre-call, but just reiterate your thoughts towards it.
I think that the overall trend is down. And I think that many investors who do have some available buying power should be looking at potentially selling puts on conservative companies like JP Morgan or like RTX. Or if they want to, they can take ownership of some stocks like Microsoft or the QQQ index, because some of those are down around 25%. But I definitely think that now is the time to be defensive and not necessarily to be overly speculative and not to use leverage. Now, I also think that a lot of current investors probably have taken a beating and they might not have a lot of available buying power at their disposal. But I think that for those people who have been judicious, who have been very disciplined and have not over-allocated, I think that it's worthwhile to rotate into more defensive-minded stocks.
Okay, defensive-minded stocks, and what would they be?
Something like RTX or like an LMT, or you can even use like a QQQ, because the Qs are trading at about 300, and I think its 52-week high is about like 407. So you can get like a 25% or slightly over 25% discount from where it was trading as of like, you know, January 3rd, which is probably when it hit its 52-week high.
Okay. So you still see opportunity in the market?
Well, you know, you really have to ask yourself, what other alternative asset class is really going to appreciate? So one can make an argument and say that real estate has done very well, but then you run into the fact that you have potentially rising rates, and then you have a lower amount of credit that the bank is willing to allocate to buyers. And then you also have prices and inflation for regular goods and the cost of living going up. So, you know, real estate, I think, is a little bit hype, is a little bit overextended. And I think that based upon the better liquidity that you get from stocks, it could be worthwhile to rotate into stocks that are very high quality, that have been beaten down by 25 or 30%, but not trading too large or using too much leverage.
Okay, so what stocks have really been beat up in this past decline here?
Well, stocks that have really been beaten up, if you want to look at something like PayPal, which I think is trading at about $80, and I believe it's 52-week high is like 307. I think at one point it was like a $300 billion company. The problem with PayPal is I think that its long-term views have changed. So I wouldn't necessarily invest in that. I would look at something where you want a flight to quality. So personally, I would stick with like the largest companies, like an Apple, a Microsoft, a JP Morgan, something which has consistent revenue and government contracts like a Lockheed Martin, which is LMT, or RTX, or if you wanted to be extra judicious, then just purchasing the QQQs or selling puts on the QQQs seems like a solid strategy. Also, remember that because volatility is very high right now, because you have a high VIX where the VIX is over 25, if you sell puts, you're able to capture a significant amount of premium. So you don't necessarily have to go in and buy shares right now. You can sell puts on, let's say, something like the Qs. You can sell a 285 strike. You can probably pick up $300 to $400 of premium for every contract that you sell. Sell an expiration of like 1 week out. And then in the worst case scenario, you can get assigned those QQQ shares at 285, which would be a decent discount from its currently from its current market price.
Yeah, so the NASDAQ has taken a hit, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So opportunities still exist, but primarily you want to be defensive, right?
I think so, because remember that psychologically, losses hurt about 3 to 4 times more than the gains feel good. And from speaking to a lot of people, you know, if you lose 50% of your account, you're going to have to make 100% of that to in order to get back to where you were previously. So I definitely think, I know that people who are young, who are in their 20s, they think that they're invincible and that nothing bad will ever happen to them. But I definitely think that now is not the time to jump in, you know, head first. Now, you can also make the argument and say, hey, well, Warren Buffett says that you should be greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy. But, you know, there's so many, given that the market was up like 30% last year and the short-term trend really seems to be down, I think that it's worthwhile to be defensive.
Okay. Hey, what do you make of a stock like Tesla? What's the best thing to do there?
Right. So Tesla, it's interesting, you know, and I was actually going to make a video on it as soon as we finish this call.
I know.
I think Tesla is a great stock when the market is in a bull trend. I think that if now my wife loves Elon Musk, so it's kind of like, you know, it's not necessarily good for me to badmouth him, but I do think that he's like a little bit of like a rock star CEO who has like an aura where his value to the company by itself probably increases the market capitalization of everything that he's involved in by about 2 to 3 times. I think that if you replaced him with someone who's not liked, like a Mark Zuckerberg, I think that Tesla's market cap might be like, you know, $100 billion or $150 billion. I saw something where every single Tesla that's been manufactured has had to be recalled. I think that Tesla is a great cheerleading stock, and I do think it's a legitimate company. I think that Musk is a genius. But do I think that it's worth, you know, over $500 billion or $700 billion? I think that right now is too risky.
All right. So just to clarify the recalls, and I don't want to be a Tesla fanboy, even though I do own a Tesla. The recalls, like 3/4 of them, over 80% have been over-the-air recalls, correction of software. It's not like when GM says, hey, you know that ignition switch and that key that we give you?
Yeah.
It doesn't work too good. You better bring the car back. All these people have gotten killed. But what you're saying, the cult of personality of Elon Musk and his flamboyance really drive the stock as much as the underlying fundamentals. But when we look at the sales of Teslas growing 50-70% per year, might be a little less than that this year because of the lockdowns in Shanghai. It's still a growth stock unless these rates get so high that you can't afford to buy a new Tesla. And one other thing, David, point this out, the overall new car market has been declining for whatever reason, whether it's a lack of demand or supply chain issues, chip shortages, whereas unlike the contracting overall market, Tesla's sales have gone up.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think the momentum is extremely important in the market. I have watched a few videos from Scotty Kilmer on YouTube, and I know that he's like really anti-Tesla. So that's where I actually brought up the everything being every car being recalled. I don't personally own a Tesla, but what I have learned from years of experience is that in general, if something tends to have a propensity to go up too rapidly, it also has a propensity to have that bubble pop. So given that Tesla's 52-week high is probably around like 1,100 or 1,200, the fact that it's trading at about like 750 right now, and it's been one of the best performers in the stock market over the past 5 years, I think that it could probably pull back below like 400 and it would still be in a bull trend. And then, but I don't know how many people could actually hold out if they're using leverage, if Tesla were to fall below 500 and then resume its trend. So I think I'm not against Tesla at all. I just think that it wouldn't necessarily be the defensive stock that I would choose to rotate into in this market environment.
And I agree with you. The chart looks really bad. It didn't just have a double top, had a triple top. And that is one of the most negative and you know, head and shoulders and all that, multiple spots here on the chart. Really negative looking chart. I think you're right. It could go down as low as 400. It's going to be interesting to see. And at that point, it might very well be a screaming buy. I mean, if you look at little mundane measurements like PE ratio, well, the PE ratio is way down. It's at 97 right now, down from like 140 or something like that. Which PE ratio is, let's face it, not the most accurate measure when you're talking about stocks growing at 50%+ a year.
Yeah.
But something that you always need to be mindful of. So what about Facebook? That company took a major slam. Was it last month? I mean, yeah. It just got decimated.
Here's my thoughts on Facebook. And I actually took Facebook off my watch list because I feel like, so here's the weird thing, right? On the one hand, I was a little bit critical of Tesla because I do believe that Tesla is an amazing company with a visionary CEO. But I do think that even though it's a great company, it's gotten ahead of itself price-wise. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, I think that there's so much vitriol for Mark Zuckerberg that I feel like Facebook might potentially be undervalued. But at the same time, because there's so much vitriol for Mark Zuckerberg and there's so much, and the brand of Facebook has been hurt so much where they've lost so much brand equity, I actually think that it's affecting their user base. And if you're losing active users, then it actually decreases your valuation. So I actually think that even though Facebook might potentially be undervalued, I don't think that Facebook itself is also a good investment to jump into, because I also think that that's very risky. You know, they're betting a lot of money on the metaverse. And I think that it's just better to rotate into companies right now that are more defensive in nature, like even something like McDonald's or something that sells a product, P&G. Like Apple, et cetera.
P&G.
Yeah, exactly.
Defensive stock, because things got to get pretty bad before you and I stop buying toothpaste, toothbrushes, and shaving cream and razor blades. I mean, things are going to be really bad then.
What are your thoughts on Facebook, though? Because I think that that's really interesting, because it's kind of like it's completely different than Tesla. But at the same time, I would also avoid both Tesla and Facebook, even though one is a relative bargain where the other one might potentially be overvalued. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think if I was Mark Zuckerberg, I would be buying a huge bunker in the metaverse because he might need it. You know, I'm agnostic towards it. It's such a big company, though. And that's the thing. When you go through these horrid performances in the economy and in the stock market, the bigger companies have the resources to get through it to a better day. And assuming that the world isn't going to end within the next 6 months or a year, maybe we got till the end of the decade at least, then Facebook will rise. But there is the negative cult of personality. But in the case of Facebook, you know, I think they'll pull it out. It's my gut feel. I have a daughter that works there, and we don't really talk a lot about it because it inevitably devolves into a political discussion that we just don't do. But, you know, she's not bearish there by any stretch, although her shareholdings have gone down by, you know, 50%, and they pay a lot of their compensation is stock based. You know, I just don't know what to make because technology, the technological march forward has not ended. And I don't see this as a Microsoft type company, where Microsoft kind of stopped really evolving technologically after Microsoft Office. All they've done is evolve, add new features, programs work better.
Blah, yeah, incremental.
They've done nothing. You know, they've done nothing.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Goldterra Resource Corp is a gold exploration company that has assembled a highly prospective district-scale land position on the doorstep of the city of Yellowknife in Canada's Northwest Territories. Goldterra is currently focused on expanding and delineating gold resources at the company's Yellowknife City Gold Project with a goal of discovering over 5 million ounces. With ready access to infrastructure and multiple high-grade gold discoveries, Goldterra is on track to re-establishing Yellowknife as one of the premier gold mining districts in Canada. Goldterra trades as YGT in Toronto and YGTFF on the OTC. For more information, go to goldterracorp.com. That's goldterracorp.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Change their pricing model to more like subscription-based, et cetera. Yeah. I do think it's really interesting for the viewers and for everyone to take note that I believe that Facebook bought Instagram in around like 2014 or 2015 for about like $15 or $16 billion. And I think that if you divested and removed Instagram from Facebook right now, that Facebook's market capitalization will probably be cut in half. So the point of me saying this is that it's really the seeds that you plant today or in the past that you're going to sow in the future that's going to stimulate your future growth. I'm not certain that Mark Zuckerberg thought that when he bought Instagram in 2014 or 2015, that that would be one of the main drivers of profitability in his company's future. But I definitely think that it's important to plant seeds for everyone watching this right now, or because if you plant seeds now, then it could help you in the future. And I think that Facebook is a good example of that with their acquisition of Instagram.
And as tech companies get cheaper, they're sitting on a bundle of cash and they're in a position to make the next Instagram purchase, whatever it might be, whereas others aren't. And it's the same thing with Google buying YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an amazing
Yeah, transformational acquisitions, one of the greatest acquisitions in history, and the same with Facebook and Insta. So, and we're not anywhere near the end of this tech cycle. We're at the end of the stock market cycle where everything goes up, the everything bubble, but the world's future is going to be dictated by tech, whether you like it or not, AI, all these things. And Facebook has the resources. That doesn't mean they'll succeed. IBM once had all the resources in the world to dictate their future, and they blew it. Microsoft had, owned the world. They blew it. But so far, Google hasn't. They're still running the world. And the same with Facebook.
But Microsoft, though, they are still one of the largest companies in the world. And I kind of look at Microsoft as like a slow and steady giant, whereas IBM, their market cap is like, $120, $150 billion. Like they really blew it, because I think in the early 90s, they were the largest company on the, on the New York Stock Exchange.
Correct.
I just don't think like you echoed, I don't think that Microsoft innovates, but, their market capitalization is still really large. Do you think that even, what you said was really interesting, that we're not at the end of the tech innovation, but we might be at like the end of the bull market. Do you think that tech is going to outperform in the future from the stock market perspective? Do you think that tech will outperform other stocks?
Well, hey, I'm not the expert on this, but my gut feel is we'll go through the market uncertainties. We'll have a shakeout in the market, capitulation, and then it's off to the races. What companies are going to grow the fastest? It's going to be tech, no matter how you figure it. And we don't even know what's down the pike. Just like you couldn't have foreseen Facebook and Instagram. Facebook's been around since 2004. 10 years ago, nobody really knew. I guess Facebook was starting then. But the next Facebook, the next Instagram, Google, they're all out there, or they're going to be out there. And I just know from my own experience, I just got a new Apple Studio computer, and it so far blew away the one that I had before. And even though Apple isn't kind of lost its game as well, they're kind of like IBM was 30 years ago. But, Microsoft, I just want to emphasize, profitable as all hell, bundles of cash. They just print money. But in terms of being at the forefront of technology, they're like the company that sells tires to Tesla.
Yeah, I agree.
They're going along for the ride, but they're not running they're not directing the car. There's going to be AI that comes out here in the next 5 to 10 years, blow you away.
Yeah.
And robots and bots and everything else. Nothing in 10 years is going to look like it does now. I hope that somebody 10 years from now plays back this interview, because a huge change coming. A lot of it has to do with the ability to cut costs. Every business on the planet, whether you're small, medium, or large, you have to be cutting costs consistently. And the tools are going to be out there. They've come in the past, but now they're going to come even more fast and furious. And you know what? One time, David, I got a couple of years on you. Auto attendant and voicemail on your phone was like, oh my God, this is, wow. You mean we don't need a switchboard operator anymore. People can just call you direct. And if you don't pick up, they can just leave a message, and then you could be anywhere in the world and play your messages back. This was high tech. Yeah. 30 years ago. And now it's like, wow, when was it ever different?
Yeah.
You know, so, but getting back to your thing of, it's real hard to identify these winners, and you can always make money in a down market selling options, right?
Right. Yeah. Especially as long as you have the available buying power, because during periods of high uncertainty, the volatility indices increase. So that means that the amount of premium that you collect is higher than what it would be in, you know, when there's like a lot of calm and a lot of peacefulness. For example, if you buy hurricane insurance in Miami because there's more perception of risk, it's going to cost you more than if you bought hurricane insurance in like Wisconsin or Washington State. So right now, because there is a lot of fear in the marketplace, when you sell options, then since there's a perception that there's more risk, you're going to be able to collect about twice as much premium as you would have been able to collect just a few months ago. And the strike prices that you're selling are about 30% below what they were just a few months ago.
Yeah. Hey, and one other thing I just want to emphasize here, like everyone's all panicked about the market. I go back to the old Dow theory. I don't know if you ever studied it or not. Check it out if you haven't. And there's three types of movements. You know, short term, day to day. That means pretty much nothing. It's noise, except when you have these huge declines. Then you have intermediate term, which is a movement that starts that's contrary to the longer term trend, right? So we're in a bull market, and then the market just reverses 25% and loses it right away. Under Dow theory, Dow theory also goes that the transports confirm the Dow when you have them both make new lows or turn into negative territory. It's probably the start of a bear market. But the point is that bear markets are more long, drawn-out affairs. We haven't had any lately, so we're probably due for one. Whereas the intermediate term is often, that intermediate shift trends often mistaken for the beginning of a new bear or bull market. It's a fake-out. So I'm not saying we're getting faked out here, but I'm saying that this could be overreaction, and it might be a fake-out.
If you remember, going back to what you were talking about, as an example, March 2020, I think the market lost like 36% in 33 days. But then starting around like March, you know, 20th, around there, it basically had like a V-shaped bottom, and then it rebounded to a new high. So that's an example of what you're saying about like a head fake and a fake out. This market seems to be a little bit different, because I know that the market hit a high on January 3rd, the first trading day of the year. But since that day, it's basically been like, you know, straight down for about like 4.5 months. And I know that over the past week or so, we've gotten a little bit of a reprieve. But, you know, right now, intraday, I think the S&P might still be down around 100 points. So Yeah, I mean, who knows? We can't tell the future. I think that it is worthwhile, though, to be defensive. And if you're not certain that the market is going to stabilize, you can sell out-of-the-money put options on stocks that you believe are oversold, collect that premium, and either roll that option, or if you think that you want to participate in the upside, then you can take assignment of the stock. And, you know, if you want to run the wheel, quote unquote, and sell calls on it, you can do that. I'm not really a big fan of the wheel because it does cap your upside. But yeah, if you believe something's oversold, then there are ways that you can participate in the upside.
Yeah. And this is also options expiration week. So, you know, trying to read the tea leaves right from options X week, extremely difficult.
Yeah.
But my inclination is probably heading towards a bear market. If we're not there already, we're probably in a recession and have been for probably close to the past year.
Yeah, I agree.
The phony inflation GDP deflator makes it look like there was growth when there really wasn't. So all those things combined. Hey, David, just tell us, where do we find you? How do we connect with you on the web?
Sure. You can go to my website, beststockstrategy.com. And also I have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/beststockstrategy. And those two places, either my website or YouTube, are the best ways to get in contact with me. I try to be very responsive via email. So feel free to email me and I usually will respond back within 24 hours.
All right. Excellent. David, appreciate you coming back on. If you got a question for David, you can always send me an email. I'll get you an answer. KL@KerryLutz.com. Don't forget, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for your free newsletter. David, thanks so much for taking time out. Come talk with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.